Dobbins learned something from Cieza de León that was not mentioned in Prescott's history, in the Smithsonian's official handbook of South American Indians, or in any of the then-standard descriptions of Tawantinsuyu. According to Cieza de León, Huayna Capac, Atahualpa's father, died when a great plague of smallpox broke out in 1524 or 1525, so severe that more than 200,000 died of it, for it spread to all parts of the kingdom. Smallpox not only killed Huayna Capac, it killed his son and designated heir, and his brother, uncle, and sister wife. The main generals and much of the officer corps died, wrote the Inca chronicler Santa Cruz Pachacuti Yamqui Salcamayhua, all their faces covered with scabs. So did the two regents left in Josco by Huayna Capac to administer the empire. After the dying Huayna Capac locked himself away so that nobody could see his pustulous face, Salcamayhua reported, he was visited by a terrifying midnight vision. Surrounding him in his dream were millions upon millions of men. The Inca asked who they were. Souls of the lost, the multitude told him. All of them would die from the pestilence, each and every one. The story is probably apocryphal, but its import isn't. Smallpox has an incubation period of about 12 days, during which time sufferers, who may not know they are sick, can infect anyone they meet. With its fine roads and great population movements, Tawantinsuyu was perfectly positioned for a major epidemic. Smallpox radiated throughout the empire like ink spreading through tissue paper. Millions of people simultaneously experienced its symptoms: high fever, vomiting, severe pain, oozing blisters everywhere on the body. Unable to number the losses, the Jesuit Martin de Murua said only that the toll was infinite thousands. The smallpox virus is thought to have evolved from a cattle virus that causes cowpox, a now-extinct equine virus responsible for horsepox, or perhaps, most likely, the camelpox virus, which affects camels, as the name suggests. People who survive the disease become immune to it. In Europe, the virus was such a constant presence that most adults were immune. Because the Western Hemisphere had no cows, horses, or camels, smallpox had no chance to evolve there. Indians had never been exposed to it. They were virgin soil, in epidemiological jargon. Virgin soil death rates for smallpox are hard to establish because for the last century, most potential research subjects have been vaccinated. But a study in the early 1960s of 7,000 unvaccinated smallpox cases in southern India found that the disease killed 43% of its victims. Noting the extreme vulnerability of Andean populations, they would not even have known to quarantine victims as Europeans did, Dobbins hypothesized that the empire's population may well have been halved during this epidemic. In about 3 years, that is, as many as one out of two people in Tawantinsuyu died. The human and social costs are beyond measure. Such overwhelming traumas tear at the bonds that hold cultures together. The epidemic that struck Athens in 430 BC, Thucydides reported, enveloped the city in a great degree of lawlessness. The people became contemptuous of everything, both sacred and profane. They joined ecstatic cults and allowed sick refugees to desecrate the great temples and to die there untended. 1,000 years later, the Black Death shook Europe to its foundations. Martin Luther's rebellion against Rome was a grandson of the plague, as was modern anti-Semitism. Landowners' fields were emptied by death, forcing them either to work peasants harder or pay more to attract new labor. Both choices led to social unrest. The Jacquerie, France, 1358, the Revolt of Ciampi, Florence, 1378, the Peasants' Revolt, England, 1381, the Catalonian Rebellion, Spain, 1395, and dozens of flare-ups in the German states.